Good morning. Will you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please? Ephesians 4. How the body grows. How does the body grow? Our text is Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. And this paragraph in Ephesians is about how the church body works, what it is supposed to do. The scripture tells us what we're aiming at and how to move toward it and what carries us along. And it also tells us what we look like when it's not working, when the body is failing. In some ways, this is not a good time to talk about church life because the COVID virus has put limits on doing things together. We are more isolated from each other than we were before this. Body life, as we lived it before, is now limited and restricted, and church body life has never been easy. But now there are a whole new set of challenges. But there are still things we can do, and the Lord encouraged us to do those things. Never mind what we cannot do about this. Let's think about how we still connect with each other. Because, you see, the ways we are still in contact are essential. Even when they feel small, they're important. The ways we can still speak to each other, or meet in church, or meet somewhere else, or do something for someone, or encourage or thank someone. All of these matter a great deal. They matter more than we thought. That's what I'd like to get across today. So our scripture is Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. That is six verses, and this time it works to go through those one at a time, so we'll do it that way. Number one, Christ gave leaders to the church. That's verse 11. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. The church has never really been a democracy. It is certainly true that we are all brothers and sisters to each other, and in that fundamental sense, we are on the same level. But Jesus had not been in ministry very long before he called and appointed the 12. Going forward a little while, in the first missionary trip of Paul and Barnabas, they appointed elders in every church. And all of this is from Christ himself, these leaders. So Christ gives big picture leaders, apostles and prophets and evangelists, and he gives local church leaders as well, the shepherds and the teachers. So Christ gives his church leaders to get the body going in the right direction. Number two, to build up the body of Christ, verse 12. So three phrases describe what these leaders do. What are the leaders supposed to do for the rest of us? To equip the saints for works of service to build up the body of Christ. The leaders equip us for works of service. And because of the leaders, the saints become workers who serve the body. Back in verse 7 of this chapter, Ephesians 4, Paul writes that Christ has given every believer a grace, a gift. Every believer has this from Christ. No exceptions. And in verse 16, which we'll get to, Paul will write that each part of the body has its own work to do. And that's what we have here in verse 11 as well. To equip the saints for works of service to build up the body of Christ. So the service of the saints is to build up the body of Christ. Now, believers sometimes get blocked on this because they don't know what their gift is. Listen. What is my gift is the wrong question. How will I love the church is the right question. What can I do for the church to show my love? How can I love these people? How can I love the Lord's people? For each of us, there is a long list of things that don't work. We can't do those for one reason or another. Never mind that. There are always things we can do. What can I do to give loving service to the Lord's people? What could I do? So Christ gave each of us our own grace gift, and he gave us leaders to equip us so that this would happen. And in that way, we would build up the body of Christ. Number three, unity in faith, in the faith and in the knowledge. There's a strong pull toward unity here. This is verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming a mature man, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So building up the body always has an eye toward unity. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 15 begins speaking the truth. So the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and the truth are three different ways of saying the same thing. So the faith here means what Christians believe, the core truths that we hold on to that make us Christians. That's the faith. And most of these truths that we believe are about Jesus, the Son of God. So the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God both describe truths about Christ that we build our lives on. So when verse 15 begins speaking the truth is the same thing as the faith, which is pretty much the same as the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, verse 13 begins, until we all reach unity in the faith. So the basic Christian truths about Christ always produce unity, and that is the goal, to be one unified body. In Paul's day, they did not have that unity yet. He wrote Ephesians because there were troubles between Gentile believers and Jewish believers. They had different ideas about things and didn't get along. I'm not sure the church has ever had the kind of unity that Paul's writing about here. But that is the goal, that the faith and the truths about Christ would make them a church, a mature man. In the middle of verse 13, Paul makes the goal of the church to be a mature man, not just a mature adult, but specifically a mature man. Most translations don't read that way, I suppose because it does not sound gender-friendly. Gender-friendly is a good thing, but this time we should let it stand as a mature man. We're talking about the body of Christ, Christ being the head and the church being his body. Jesus of Nazareth was a man and not a woman, so the body of Christ will be pictured as a man's body. In the next chapter, Ephesians 5, Paul uses a different image of the church, the bride of Christ, which is obviously a woman. So Paul pictures the church as a woman in Ephesians 5, and here in Ephesians 4 as a man. And the goal is unity. The basic Christian faith, the core truths about Christ, will produce a church that's operating like a mature man, the body of Christ in all his fullness. See, all our loving service for each other, the ways we take care of each other and show interest and help each other, they build up this unity and oneness. And it depends on the teachings of the true faith and also all the common ways we take care of each other and help each other, how we encourage and thank each other and all those things. Number 4, not scattered by every wind of teaching. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. When Marilyn and I lived on Aspen Bay, it was not paved. So, after it rained in summer, there were many puddles on the road and there was water in the ditch. And we had 4 children who were all of an age to enjoy a good puddle and a full ditch. And we would dress them for the occasion and we would go for a walk. And it seemed that every child had to experience every puddle and every ditch. It could take 20 minutes to go 100 feet. That's fine for children, but the Lord of the church does not want the church to be like that. The church should be one mature man, the body of Christ, not a crowd of infants, each on their own. And what is it that turns a mature man into a group of infants tossed on the waves in a storm, or like a leaf blown by the strong wind? What makes the church a bunch of infants? The answer is teaching, human teaching, all the wrong kinds of deceitful, crafty teaching. The faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and the truth, these produce unity. The body of Christ is a mature man, and every wind of teaching, on the other hand, tosses us around and scatters us. And on a spiritual level, we become children, a bunch of children, each doing our own thing. For the last while, Christians around here have sometimes been sharply divided in response to COVID and its implications. When these things separate us, deceitful human teaching has somehow taken hold. The faith and the truth would not divide us. That we have different opinions is fine. But when they divide us and separate us, that's something else. My brothers and sisters, pick your teachers wisely. Be careful who your teachers are. Every human can be fooled. We are all vulnerable to crafty teaching. False teaching was a big problem in New Testament times, and it has never not been a problem. Two things make deceitful teaching dangerous. One, the false message appeals to some legitimate human desire. It will satisfy something we want, and the desire itself is not bad. It's a good desire that we want this. And this crafty teaching will appeal to something that is a good desire. And two, there will always be some of God's real truth mixed in. In the bad message, there will be some good theology. And for all of this, the teaching is still deceitful and destructive. This is why Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Christ gave these so we would have the truth, the knowledge of the Son of God, and we would know what to believe. I feel sorry for people. I know you can find shepherds and teachers on all sides of this, and how are you supposed to know? But it has always been like that. Paul told the Ephesian elders to their faces that some of them would turn away and start teaching garbage. It happened then and also now. So be careful, my brothers and sisters, about deceitful teaching and about your teachers. Number 5, speaking the truth in love, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. So the truth is the same as the faith, which is what we believe, and it is also the knowledge of the Son of God, since the truth and the faith are mostly what we know about Jesus, the Son of God. So here's how it is. If I am loyal to God's truth, and if I speak this truth to someone outside the truth, but I do not speak it in love, I am condemned. I will say that again. If I am loyal to God's truth, and I speak this truth to someone outside the truth, but I do not speak in love, I am condemned. This is difficult for me, the love part, because I get upset, but it is still true. If I speak with love, but I don't speak God's truth, I'm still no help to anybody. If the body is going to be built up, then we will speak God's truth to one another, the truth about Christ, and we will speak it in love, so the person listening knows there is genuine concern. Otherwise, I'm trying to take a speck out of your eye, and I have a plank in my own eye. Listen, if someone was taking a little bit of dirt out of your eye, you would want them to be careful. Real careful. That's called speaking the truth in love. Body life is a work of love. Ephesians 4:16. This is number 6, our last point. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From Christ. The whole body, from Christ, the whole body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Work is mentioned twice in our paragraph. In verse 12, to prepare the saints for the works of service. And here at the end, as each part does its work. Body life takes work. Not everything that feels like work is good, but a lot of good and loving service is also work. And love is mentioned twice as well, speaking the truth in love. And the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In body life, love and work go together. And there is a lot of good body life happening among you here. The people who lead us regularly on Sunday, and we have many regulars, they do this. You count everyone you see at the front every month. It's quite a few. And folks, anything we do on a regular schedule feels like work sometimes, unpleasant. And many things happen between us in the rest of the week. Now, someone from this church cleared the snow off our driveway on Tuesday. Lots of snow. How nice is that? People bring food to us once in a while, baking or something else. And we get an encouraging emails, and we get phone calls, and we get real visits. These things all might seem commonplace, you know. No big deal. But that is not true. These are what hold us together, and these make the body grow. The Lord is not asking here that each one of us would become more mature. He wants his body as a single living organism to become mature. He wants his body as a single living unit to more and more express his own fullness. Not each one of us, but the whole body as a unit to be his fullness. And that means that all the ways we connect with each other, they are loaded, they are rich, they are full. It's all important. It all counts. It matters. In verse 12, and back in verse 7, and in verse 12, and again in verse 16, each one of us has a part to play. And when any one of us drops out, we all lose, because we never get the grace that Christ gave that brother or sister. So we bring God's grace to each other in many different ways, and that is such a good thing. And there's just a lot of that going on here all the time, and I'm very glad about that, and the Lord is. That's the real point. So to sum up, Christ gave each of us a grace, a gift. Christ gave the church its leaders to equip the saints for works of service, to build up the body of Christ. And from Christ, the whole body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And we grow to become the mature body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your body, the church. Thank you for the countless ways each one of us has been encouraged and helped by gifts of all kinds from one another. Thank you, Lord, for giving each one of us our own measure of your grace. Thank you that you've given us love for each other. And you've given us a willingness to work in our service. None of this happens without your doing, Lord. Be our shepherd and keep us growing in the right direction. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.